How could the cold feel?
Try to imagine the pop song of the moment 50 years from now. No, really, try to imagine it. What would we be listening to on the way home or dancing to on an evening out? What might we be singing in the shower 50 years from now? One Boston-based musician thinks it'll sound like this.
And the sun burns through my heart. You don't know.
This morning in our series, Arts Forward, Imagining the Future, the Arteries' Amelia Mason asks, what will music sound like?
This song is called How Good the Cold Feels. Chris Kazarian composed it when we asked him to imagine the sound of 2065.
So this song was about, like, what would happen in a world where global warming has taken full effect and people have to react to that on a day-to-day basis.
That's one dystopian vision of pop music's future. But the hardest thing to imagine in this futuristic guessing game is how much our tastes will change. Prince Charles Alexander, a Grammy-winning producer and professor at Berklee College of Music, thinks we might hear some pretty weird sounds make their way into popular music.
Right now, the conventional wisdom is that we as human beings can focus in a piece of music on maybe three items at a time. Maybe that would extend. Maybe it would get to four or five.
Alexander says that today's popular DJs and producers, like Skrillex and Tiesto, are already exploring this chaotic layering of sounds, like this Tiesto track.
But it shows up mostly when they're mashing from one song leading into another song. Those very brief moments where there is the interchange of two songs happening at once, I think, is maybe a snippet of what music could be.
Sounds like these are already making their way into top 40. And that small moment, mashing from one song to another, might be all we want to hear in the future. It may sound crazy now, but to Alexander, that's the whole point. The first time he heard sampling in hip-hop, he thought,
oh, that's ridiculous. Like, how is that musical? And yet that's become iconic and a part of our culture.
In a recording studio at Berklee, we played Alexander the song we commissioned to see what he thought.
Yeah, that was cool.
But Alexander thinks it could be more extreme. He pops the song into some editing software and moves quickly. He's less musician and more scientist in a lab. After a few clicks of the mouse, a couple of stabs at some buttons, and a swipe at the faders.
And I can open it up. What a freaky experience, right? You can just really play around with pitch, with time, and come up with something that really we haven't heard before. Anything's possible.
Anything's possible. In fact, the impossible is already becoming possible.
We have a professor at Berklee, Dr. Boulanger, who I've seen him put some band around his head, and he starts thinking, and music starts playing, and I'm like, wow, what is this? That's kind of cool.
That's the sound of Dr. Richard Boulanger's brain. He's a professor of electronic production and design at the Berklee College of Music, and he's created all kinds of amazing futuristic instruments and apps. He's wearing a simple plastic headpiece that reads brainwaves, the electrical impulses produced by the neurons in his brain. Boulanger has to perform a bit of studio magic to make it sound musical.
I think we might not use this.
And it doesn't always work the way he wants it to.
Oh, my quantizer's letting me down.
Dr. Boulanger's studio is in a carpeted guest room in his big suburban house in Dighton, but it looks like the control center on a submarine. A stack of old-school synthesizers reaches to the ceiling. Guitars hang on the wall. And, of course, there's a bunch of computers. To Boulanger, even a picture can make music.
So it's a little camera, which is taking a picture of us. And then it thinks for a second. It's a little computer behind there. And then it composes and performs.
And then there's an app that Boulanger co-created called Muse. With Muse, you can upload any sounds you want, from hip-hop beats to violins. Boulanger uses it to write ambient symphonies, populated by the sounds of his everyday life. Rain falling, crickets chirping, a dog barking. And he plays it just by waving his hands.
And you see on the screen here, my fingers, how I'm moving. It's tracking all of your finger movements, your hand movements, hand rotation. I can swipe, pick another track. And actually, when you move your hands in, it changes the sound quality.
But Muse isn't an iPhone. It's an instrument.
How will we play music in the future? How will we enjoy making music in the future? With our iPads or iPhones or even just the way we move in the room.
If Boulanger has shown us anything, it's that technology isn't a quick fix. It's just another set of tools with its own challenges and possibilities.
Just because we can attach sensors to all kinds of data in our world doesn't mean that that data will be beautiful music. That beautiful sunset, that beautiful breeze, that beautiful ocean wave doesn't necessarily translate into a beautiful melody. It maybe inspires one, but it doesn't literally map one to one.
So in other words, that super advanced computer that connects directly to your brain and plays the music that's in your mind? Still kind of a ways off. Until then, we'll just have to use our brainwaves the old-fashioned way. We'll have to practice for hours just to master a few chords on the guitar. And we'll have to learn to code so that we can play our computers like instruments. We'll have to write the future ourselves. For 90.9 WBUR and The Artery, I'm Amelia Mason.